Hey everybody, this is Joseph Williams from Toto, and you are listening to the Blog of Rock.
Welcome to the Block of Rock, your hard rock and heavy metal podcast music magazine. My name is Uwe Lerch, and I will take you backstage to the rock stars. Of course, we chat about the music that connects us all, about new records, about life plans, and what used to be. But we also talk about the people behind it, what inspired and motivated them, and what kind of rockstar tips do they have for you out there. In the show notes, that is the description of this episode that you are hearing about right now, you will find a central link for all usage that will also take you to my official Facebook group. I would be happy if we get to know each other there. Are you ready for the start? Well, then come with me. Today I introduce you to the vocal legend Joseph Williams, who was and is again the main frontman of one of the biggest US rock bands of the last 40 years. We're talking about Toto. We know hits like Stop Loving You, Pamela, and of course I'll Be Over You out of his mouth. And since the reunion in 2010, he has also enchanted lots of other band classics with his buttery, soft voice. After an intense last world tour, Toto was planned to call it finally quits. The classic lineup had been reduced further and further due to health restrictions and tragedies. But his bandmate Steve Lukather, whom we will hear in the next episode, and Joseph just wanted to make another round, and they both have set up a new, completely renewed Toto band that wants to march off right after the end of this pandemic. In the meantime, Williams and guitarist Lukather have both worked on solo records and have also contributed to each other's album. Two records that pick up the essence of the Toto sound, but couldn't be more different. While Luke's album was recorded live and roughly with musician friends including Ringo Starr, Joe takes us on a perfect sound journey full of warm vocal harmonies and opens our ears to a great widescreen sound in CinemaScope. The apple didn't fall far from the tree here, as he is the son of the legendary film music composer John Williams, to whom we owe the music of Star Wars, Harry Potter, as well as the soundtracks of Steven Spielberg's greatest films. I'm sure you got these melodies right away. On the other hand, Joseph also included his two grown-up daughters on this album, which is called Denizen Tennant. I caught Joseph Williams at his workplace in his home studio and wish you a great entertaining time while listening to our conversation.
Hello.
How are you?
Help, perfect. Hello, Joe. It's good to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you.
So you're looking great. Where do I pick you up? In your studio?
Yep, I'm in my little writing room here, screen here, keyboard, everything right here.
That's where it all happened.
This is where it happens.
That's great. So how are you doing in these times?
You know, as good as can be expected. It's, you know, for all of us, it's strange. You know, it's very hard for Luke, especially, and I, because we want to be out there playing, you know. That's the worst part about it for us, is this pandemic has made it so people can't go to concerts. So we're hoping that that ends sometime soon so that we can get back to work. That's the hardest part. But mostly I feel bad, really horribly for the people, you know, in every country out there that don't have, you know, work, you know what I mean? That are having a problem being able to keep their, you know, food on the table right now. And all the businesses are closing. So I feel horrible for them. I'm lucky. I have something to do at least. So,
and you're used to work in your studio at all.
Exactly. I'm used to sitting here in my studio. So, I mean, I started my record before the pandemic happened, but once we were into it in 2020, it gave me a lot of focus to, you know, finish. So
that's right. So you're about to release your new album, Denizen Tennant, within the next days. And also Luke does the same. So it's a total Toto catalog release. Who came up with this idea for this double solo release? Something happened. I remember this with Kiss in the 70s when several people of a band released a solo album simultaneously with the same record company as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that when they did that, it was probably a lot more thought out. This happened kind of very quickly. Luke made his solo album. He was always going to make his at the beginning of the year. And I always had plans to finish mine. He had a record deal with Mascot. I had no record label at all. I was just making my record for myself. I would have ended up releasing it myself on the internet if I had no label or whatever. But so I talked to Luke and he got his label interested in taking my record. So once that happened, then we thought of the idea of putting them together, because once we start touring again, we're going to need new material to play. And so this might as well be the new stuff from his album, stuff from my new album. And so we thought it might be a good, you know, fun idea to put them together and sell them together.
It's a good idea. Although the two albums are a bit different, of course, overall, it's a total sound, which is in these albums. But while taking a more deeper listen to it, they are different. And what I see is that your album is a very bright and warm journey through vocal harmonies. And this is something which, of course, the total sound is all about. And your whole album is like a movie soundtrack for these dark times. And of course, your experience with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very wonderful description. I appreciate that. I mean, my years spent as a, you know, in television composing and stuff have definitely informed the process of the production in this album. That's how I like albums to be. It's like Yes albums used to be, and also the Beatle albums. All the Beatle albums had many different styles of music going on. It wasn't just one thing, you know. After they stopped touring and they became, you know, these incredible studio creators, you know, music creators in the studio. I always loved that's, you know, music production. So that's kind of what this album is. It's a painting, you know. But it's also very vocal focused, as of course, because I'm a singer. But its focus is vocals and harmonies, and you know.
You have produced the album all by yourself in this room, what I'm looking in.
It wasn't in this physical building. It was in the previous place that I lived before this. But this is all the same setup and the same stuff. So yes, the answer is yes. It's all this equipment just was in another place.
So you record your vocals by yourself, or did somebody else help you?
No, I have a vocal booth, you know, like a vocal kind of a booth with a remote setup that goes to my main computer, so I can control everything from in there. So I do it all alone.
I love the vocal harmonies, especially listening it via my headphone. So it's such a nice and bright journey, as I said before. And this is what I like very much on this album. The whole album is it's a kind of a family effort. Your daughters are working with you, as well as Luke and David, and as some other musicians who played with Toto before. So how did it all come together?
Well, the my daughter's involvement was naturally organic. I mean, they both are now in their 20s, and they both beautiful singers, and they, you know, they grew up in the studio with me and, you know, messing around on the mic, and they both, you know, come to understand how to work in a studio. They know how to be professionals. They're incredible singers. They have great pitch. I don't have to tune them or any of that stuff. They're you know, they're exceptional singers. So obviously I had them in there. You know, I don't need any other background singers. I created my own background group kind of thing. Not that I wouldn't go out and have other singers come in. I just, this particular album, when I made it, I was making it on my own money and on my own time. So I had to pick and choose where I wanted to spend money on having guests come in on the thing. So rather than have a bunch of different singers, which actually would have made more sense since it is a vocal album, I chose to do all of that myself and bring in outside musicians for drums and you know, bass and things like that, guitar.
And of course, your other band colleagues joined in as they have been in town anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just one of the, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have these men as my friends, you know. It's as simple as that. I mean, like I said, I had no record deal. I had a little bit of money to spend. And these are guys who are virtuoso musicians who make a lot more than I could give them. But for me, they come in and they'll record as a favor. And they're the very best of musicians. Like, you know, the song Liberty Man, I mean, it wouldn't have been right if I wasn't able to get Simon. And Simon generously recorded his drums in his own setup in his own studio, and it took his time to do that. And I didn't pay him anywhere near what he would normally get for something like this. And he took his time. It was like, you know, he took it as seriously as he would any other Toto kind of thing for me, you know. So I'm blessed to be able to have that, to be able to, you know, to call these guys and go, hey, are you available? And they, and if they are, they could help. So I got as many of them as I could is really what it was.
How long did it take to write for you to write the material? Has it been also while you were on tour with Toto, or did it just happen the past 2 years?
No, I started to chip away at songs starting about 2016, coming on the road, going off the road, coming on the road, going off the road. I don't write when I'm on the road. When I'm on the road, I'm focused on my voice and taking care of it. I walk, I sleep when we're not doing a show. It's hard for me to get in the mindset of creating in my hotel room, that kind of thing. But when we're home from the road, I immediately go to work and start, you know, ideas, that kind of thing. So in 2016, I started coming up with ideas for songs and developing their sounds and stuff. So two songs on the album are really from that development early on. A couple of the tracks, which ended up being finished songs also. But for the most part, the album was made and written in 2020.
It's a very personal message, what I can hear between the songs and also between the lines.
I guess so. I guess it is. It's the album I wanted to make. I didn't have anybody telling me, you know, that I couldn't do this or that. I mean, I didn't have a record deal or anything else. It was all my equipment. It was just up to me to do the vocals. This is the mic I use to work out stuff. And then I have a booth. I just didn't have anybody to bother me to tell me that I couldn't do this or do that. So I just took my time and just did it exactly the way I wanted to make it be and sound. So it definitely represents me more than any of the other stuff I've done, I think.
One of my favorites on the album is your duet with Hannah, your daughter. It's Don't Give Up. Anyway, one of the best tracks ever written, originally by Peter Gabriel and the fabulous Kate Bush. But you sing it together, and for me, especially the middle part, you made some kind of a climax into a gospel kind of sound. Mm-hmm. Is it your way to tell the world that there will be some kind of light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I mean, that's a great way to look at it. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really thinking of that. I mean, the middle section of the Peter Gabriel song in his original struck me as being very gospel-y. You know, I think it is by its nature. So I just went a little further with it is all. I just went a little bit further by bringing in instrumentation and Luke's guitar and all that kind of stuff. But it's a very gospel-y moment. And I love how uplifting it feels. And I love the nature of that song, just the whole thing that song makes me feel. I love it. That's why I wanted to try it. And I also thought that, the song could work very well with the lyrics being a conversation between a father and a daughter, you know? So that was why Hannah worked so perfectly for me. So, you know, I wasn't trying to reinvent anything or do anything differently or try and impress anybody. It was a fluke that I ended up doing that song. I just ended up was listening to it one day on the internet, and I turned over here and just decided to mess around with it, and it just got carried away. But, it's one of my very favorite songs in the world, and I just feel privileged to be able to do a version.
Was it also kind of your daughter Hannah's message for dad not to give up?
Well, yeah, that's the idea. The idea is that the lyrics work great also for father-daughter, you know.
There's another cover version on the album by the Beatles. You mentioned the band already before. If I Fell, you do it together with Luke, so it's kind of Lennon McCartney. In the Toto style, what did it make you to choose this track by the Fab Four?
Well, I love the song, first of all, for so many reasons, going back as a child, to something about the harmonies that I've always loved. John and Paul singing together, it was those guys singing together just had such a great chemistry, and it helped teach me how it is to sing with another person, to sing harmonies with another person and sing in tune, not just by yourself. So me and my brother and sister used to sing all the Beatle harmonies. And I loved If I Fell, because in If I Fell, John and Paul are sort of trading off the first and third harmonies. and the second one bounce, you know, it's missing. There's a missing part. And when I was a kid, I used to always try and fill in the missing harmony, which has helped teach me how to sing harmonies. So I always loved that song. And thought, you know, maybe one day I could do a version of it, but I never really thought about it that way. And just like Don't Give Up, one day I was taking a break and I was watching YouTube and the song came up and I thought, turned over here to my keyboard and started playing it and singing it myself. And I thought, I'll just finish it. And that's what it was. I wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel or trying to impress anybody or, you know, anything. I just loved the song.
So from your childhood days, you were closely connected through music and also to combine visual arts and effects with and emotions, visual emotions with music and the power of music. So your father, of course, the great John Williams, who composed some of the best film soundtracks like the Star Wars, Harry Potter and all the Steven Spielberg movies. How is he doing these days?
He's doing great. He's doing great. He just turned 89 on February 8th. And he's doing great. He still plays golf almost every day, you know, just to get out there and move. Pandemic has been very hard for him. He doesn't like being cooped up. So, but he got his vaccination. He got his thing. So he's happy about that. And he's doing well. His health is good. He's doing very, very well. He writes every day music, you know, working on some concerto or something, you know, he never stops.
So what has been the favorite character in the movies from the movies your father made the soundtrack?
Probably Indiana Jones. Yeah, I loved Raiders of the Lost Ark. I thought that was a great, unique, you know, cool film that was like an old 40s serial. You know, I loved it. I loved Harrison Ford as that character. I loved my father's score for that film. I thought it was just an incredible score and a great theme. And just, you know, it just really scratches all of the itches. You know, it's a good, that, I love that one. That's one of my favorites.
So let's go back to Toto. You don't stop. You just announced, announced last year that there will be a new version of Toto. And so what is this story all about? So you can't stop. You have lots of energy in your veins to restart Toto once again.
Well, musicians don't stop. You know what I mean? Musicians just keep you going and then they die. You know, musicians don't stop. There are, you know, everybody there, nobody is an enemy to anybody in the band who's remaining alive or anything like that. It's just, there are certain people who just can't tour anymore. David can't do 12-hour bus trips, you know, and all throughout Europe, the way we used to. He just can't do that anymore. So he can't tour with us, but he would if he could. And Steve Porcaro doesn't really want to tour. He doesn't want to be on tour. He wants to work at home, be at home in the studio. So he's finished. Bobby Kimball would also be out there touring if he could sing, if he could hear. He could still sing, but he can't hear very well. And also he's a little, you know, he's losing some, you know, cognitive function a little bit from what I hear, but he still sings great. Otherwise he would be there too. The fact is that Luke and I are the only ones that still can go out and tour. That's all there is to it. It's as simple as that. It's like, we're the only ones left that still want to do it and still can. So that's why we started calling it the Dogs of Oz, because that's the two of us. We're the last two, you know? And it's not really Toto anyway. I mean, the original six-man Toto group is long gone. And there have been many versions since then that have been, you know, like that have been Toto. But that's finished. And now Toto is a touring group. Toto is a touring entity. And everything that Luke and I do is really Dogs of Oz, you know. But David Page also is, you know, involved in both these records and everything. So it still is very much Toto. As long as Dave is there and Luke together, then you can really call it Toto. You know what I mean? But when we tour and we play the Toto music and you have Steve Lukather as the front man or whatever, it's Toto. So we are just the two guys left that still can do it. That's all. That's the only thing. So we're trying to plan a tour to be able to come out because we want to work. And we hire, you know, we had to get musicians who could play the music well and go out and tour with us for a new. So we found the guys, we found our band. And we're just waiting to be able to come out and play shows. It's just as simple as that. And these new albums are like the new material that would be like a new Toto album. So when we play live, we open the show with one of these songs, that kind of thing.
So it's like a double album you could play along with all the 40 years of the Toto history.
Exactly right. So, you know, with our show is usually about 2 hours long. We have to play all the Toto big hits. And then we play a bunch of deep cut Toto songs. And then usually Luke does something that he likes to do to solo on or something. So that way he would do something from his new album. And then I would probably do one or two things from my new album. And that would be like a 2 hour Toto show.
Joe, you're welcome. Come over to Europe. We're waiting for you.
I can't wait to come over. I'm so tired of being here. I've been coming to Europe since I was 8 years old. I mean, I lived in England for a couple of years when I was a kid. I hate being stuck over here. I hate it. I love being over there, spending as much time as I can over there. I miss it so much. So I can't wait to see you guys.
We're looking forward to welcoming you. Thank you very much. All the best to you.
And you. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, please follow me at the podcast dealer you trust so that you don't miss the next one. You will get the entire season as a free subscription service from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Deezer, SoundCloud, YouTube, the Google Podcast Portal, and, of course, via my homepage, theblockofrock.com. You can also listen to the stories that have been already published there, because there is new food in here every week. And above all, tell your friends and share the good news on social media. All right? Then let's hear again next time. Until then, keep on rocking.